Well, Father, I truly do thank you for all that came out into the house to sit in your presence, to be fed your fresh manna from heaven. I thank you, Father God, that your Holy Spirit is here, that your angelic host is walking to and fro throughout these chairs, ministering to your people. Father God, the ones that come out are hungry and thirsty. Give them the truth today, Father. And as you give them the truth, Father God, let it go deep down into their spirit, man. And we plead the blood of Jesus over the words that the enemy cannot steal it. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we was doing praise and worship, you know, it just came to my remembrance that God told us that the world was going to change. It would be totally different. We wouldn't recognize it. And God told me last night that we just need to proceed forward and not get stuck in the mire and the clay that's going on right now, because things are going to even change more so than they already have. And so God wants you to be strong towers, and he wants you to stand firm on what he's asking you to do, and become more intimate with him tomorrow than you are today. Because it's only in intimacy that we're going to have a close relationship with the Father. This morning he said, we call this motionless and immovable. Now, all we hear nowadays is how fear is taking over the world. I'm shocked. I'm really shocked at how the churches are walking in fear. You know? God spoke in some of the very stern voice to me. He said they need to become conquerors, and then they will not walk in fear. So if you're walking in fear, you have not yet become a conqueror. All right? Then God said they need to become motionless. So that's why this teaching is being taught. So motionless is immovable. It's incapable of being moved, firmly fixed, steadfast, as an immovable foundation. And the second meaning is steadfast, is fixed, unalterable, unchangeable, used of the mind or will as an immovable purpose, or a man who remains immovable. Oh, by the way, happy Father's Day. Everybody said it, so I'll have to say it too. You know, I was going to do a Father's Day message, and God said, no, they have to learn to be fathers before you can get up there and praise them. So you fathers in here, you have to, evidently there's still some work God has to do within you before he can get up here and give you a special message. If you notice, I didn't do a Mother's Day message either. He said, women are not mothers. He said, they just have their children, let them run wild. So God's not going to honor those who do not deserve honor. So you just need to really think about that. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The word of God says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's our Christian duty to be steadfast and immovable. I tell you what, some of you people, just a wind would come by and knock you over. And God doesn't want that anymore. We have to be immovable. And we all know storms have come into our lives, and storms are still coming into our lives. And we know with those storms, there's great hurricane winds, and the enemy is trying to take us off our feet. Now, if you don't know that, I'm telling you that's the truth, okay? And this is what's happening, is the enemy's trying to take us off of our feet. Now, Job 13, verse 15 says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, talking about God. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation, for a hypocrite could not come before him. God said, children, when did the rock become slippery? The rock is a sure foundation, and it is unmovable at all times. Who is the rock? The rock is Jesus. Question to you is, when did the rock become slippery? In other words, when did you start vacillating between two opinions? When was it when you really and truly didn't trust the word anymore? This is what this is all about. Now, Deuteronomy 32:4 says, He is the rock, His works are perfect, and all His ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is He. Now, evidently the body of Christ doesn't believe that, or fear would not be the uppermost thing on people's minds and hearts. It says, He is the rock, His works are perfect, and all His ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is He. Then Psalms 144:1 says, Bless the Lord, who is my immovable rock. He gives me strength and skill in battle. He is always kind and loving to me. He is my fortress, my tower of strength and safety, my deliverer. He stands before me as a shield. He subdues my people under me. Now, if you really believe that, God would not say they need to become immovable, would He? But see, He's telling you, you don't really believe that your God can do all things, right? Then God said, I am forever with you, leading, guiding, and directing. You are my strong towers, and the enemy is working hard at destroying your foundations. Your foundation. You were standing on the rock, but the winds came and they prevailed, and the enemy is starting to tear down your foundation, your walk with God. And Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 says, Therefore, Jesus says, Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Hear what He said? Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall. Why? Because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. What did He say there? But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice. When you read the Word of God, or when you hear the Word of God, you're supposed to take it into your bosom and start putting it into practice so that the enemy cannot tear down your foundation. Now, there will always be those around about you who are not walking in the Spirit and walking like God wants them to walk, and they're going to try to tear you off of your foundation. They're trying to bring you down to their level, and it doesn't matter what's going on in your life, you have to stay firmly rooted and grounded on that rock. You just have to. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, And no one can ever lay any other real foundation than that one we already have, which is Jesus Christ. You can build your foundation on anything in the world. It's not going to stand. If you don't build it on the rock, Jesus Christ, it's going to fall. And I noticed a lot of you are really, really, really getting into God, really getting intimate with Him. And I see your foundation getting stronger and stronger. In other words, your walk with God getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And, you know, whenever I'm hearing God say, when you're really doing a strong walk with Him, you have to push against the adversity that comes your way. Because the enemy's always going to send adversity. He's going to send people to put you down, or, you know, or do something to you to make you believe you just might as well quit. Might as well just go with the flow. Don't ever go with the flow. You're a forerunner. You don't go with the flow. You pave the way and then others follow. All right? God said, Since when is the enemy stronger than the anointing I have placed upon you? You have all power and all authority to subdue the enemy at every turn. In other words, he has no control over you except the control you give him. All right? You guys, you know, yesterday's message was powerful. God is getting ready to use you in a mighty way, and that's why you're being fought by the enemy. He does not want you to go out there and tear his kingdom down. You have been fighting and fighting and fighting against the enemy, and that is really good. And you're becoming stronger and stronger and stronger with the Lord. And you'd be surprised what God is going to use you to do real soon. Real soon. He's been training you up in the ways that he would have you go. And he's getting ready to push you out there. All right. God said, children, yours is not to reason why. Yours is to stay strong. In other words, you can't say, God, why am I going through this? You just have to understand that God is with you. God always knew what was going to happen, and God is in control. And you just have to stay strong. And no matter what the enemy throws at you, you just have to keep on going. You don't stop because the enemy throws a roadblock in front of you. I'm hearing God say, you blow the roadblock up, and you keep moving. All right? And I'm also hearing him say, storms of life come and storms of life go. But whenever they go, when they come and when they go, you be standing as a strong tower that others can run into. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, keep your eyes open for spiritual danger. See that? Keep your eyes open for spiritual danger. Stand true to the Lord, act like men, and be strong. Oh, there's your Father Day's message. Act like men and be strong. That was in 1 Corinthians 16:13. Now, I said when God commands us to do something, it is not for us to reason why, but to obey. It matters little whether we understand why, but rather what God desires each of us to do. Come on. I know there's so many in the body of Christ say, why, God? Give me all the details, God. We're just supposed to obey. All right, God said, I so desire that you become so motionless or immovable that no weapon formed in the abyss can ever penetrate your spirit man ever again. Hear that again. God said, I so desire that you become so motionless or immovable that no weapon formed in the abyss can ever penetrate your spirit man ever again. No devil in hell has the authority nor power to move you off the rock. I have placed inside of you the tenacity to overcome every obstacle sent your way. He has placed inside of you, this is God speaking, the tenacity to overcome every obstacle sent your way. God said, as you become the tenacious one, all these different words he used I thought was awesome. As you become the tenacious one, the enemy will flee. See that? The enemy will flee, and he will never come and try to pull you off the rock ever again. Now, tenacity means to cling to a belief without doubting. You have to believe that you believe that you believe that Jesus is real. That there is a heaven, that there is a hell. And there's nobody going, even when they come and tell you that we were born from aliens, you won't believe that. Amen. All right, then. I said tenacity means to cling to a belief without doubting. It is a set kind of faith, a determination that doesn't waver. I don't want to see anybody going like this anymore. It should be a strong tower, right? If I see you doing this, I'm going to have to come up and smack you. You've been in the way long enough now, and you have enough teaching inside of you that you should be a strong tower, and you shouldn't be out there waving with the wind. All right, then God said, children, instead of the enemy causing you to walk in fear, why don't you cause him to run in fear in the other direction? Where is your fortitude? Read that again. Children, instead of the, children, instead of the enemy causing you to walk in fear, Why don't you cause him to run in fear in the other direction? Where is your fortitude? Now, fortitude is courage in pain or adversity. So it doesn't matter what comes your way, you're going to stand. God said, always remember that this race is for the harvest, and the enemy wants to abort the harvest. Awesome, awesome, awesome. God said, you say, I will never be moved from the rock. That statement right there proves that you do not comprehend what the enemy has in store for the body. Through you, Father, I can do all things, and I won't be moved from the rock. Amen. I believe every one of you sitting in here today has been through some tests and some trials that you didn't think you was going to make it. That you were down on your knees and didn't know if you could get back up again. But that tenacity in you said, get up. Kick the devil in the face. Don't let him get any points. Don't allow God to be disgraced. Right? I know there's not a person that hasn't been there. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you today? You don't need to stay down when the enemy knocks you down. You get back up again. And you move on. God said, there is hope in the midst of the greatest storm ever formed, because you have learned what it is to be solidified in me. There's another word. Now listen what he said. There is hope in the midst of the greatest storm ever formed, because you have learned that what it is to be solidified in me. Solidified means make stronger or reinforce. You are stronger in God today than you were yesterday. And it's the storms of life that God allows to come our way that make us strong. If we didn't have to fight, we'd be the weakest things in the world. If we didn't go through tests and trials and tribulations, we would be weak. God allows us to go through that. Like he said yesterday, he stands back and laughing because he knows we're going to make it through. You know, he proves to the enemy over and over and over again that you are a strong tower, and that there's nothing the enemy can bring your way that's going to cause you to waver. I believe that's the truth, hopefully, in everybody's life. God said, the storms are going to come, little ones, and they will come in forms that you would have never thought possible. Now, how many of you can say amen to that? You know, the enemy has brought things to you that it just about blows your mind. You would never thought that that's the way it was going to be, but that's the way it is. And that's why you have to be strong in the Lord and immovable, motionless, you know, solid, so that whenever these things come, it will not take you off course. God said, but as you humble yourself and become totally immovable, there is nothing that can take you off the rock. The rock is your stabilizer. Now, a stabilizer is a thing used to keep something steady or stable. So Jesus is our stabilizer. It is the rock, which is Jesus, that you must remain rooted and grounded in. I don't care what the enemy brings your way. I really don't care what it is he brings your way. You need to tell him, even if you fail, get back up again. And you need to tell the enemy that he cannot pull you off the rock. He might have kicked you in the teeth, but he can't pull you off the rock. Colossians 2:7 says, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Rooted and built up in Jesus. Throughout Scripture, rock is commonly referred to as a symbol of God's reliability. The Bible advises that we build our houses and lives upon the stable rock, that is God's love, wisdom, and salvation. Rocks are interlaced with the idea of refuge, a place to escape the hardships of the earth. The problem with the body of Christ is that you did not have ministers in the pulpit that taught you to stay on the rock. They let you float around like everything was just fine. And if you was in sin, they would say, well, that's okay, God's grace. And they did that because they themselves were in sin. And if they told you you had to get out of sin, then they had to get out of sin also. That's the way the body of Christ has been for years. And God's changing all that. And that's why he's bringing you young people into the house of God who have been in sin. And he's cleaning you up and he's making you strong because the body of Christ did not want to change. All right? And he said a couple times now, this is a time when the first will be last and last will be first. You're going to see things going on in the house of God that will blow your mind also. Colossians 1:23 says, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved, see that, away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. He says, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now, I was the kids were watching America Has Talent last night, and this gentleman was on there, and he was falsely accused of something. He spent 37 years in prison. And he said while he was in prison, he learned to worship the Father. And so he just sang because, you know, it was horrible being in there. He said prison was horrible. And he said, so he just started singing, and that's what he did. He sang a song on America's Got Talent. But after 37 years of being in that prison, it had to have been the worst prison there was, too. They found out through DNA that he was innocent, and the real person who should have been in prison was a serial killer. But he didn't look like he was bitter. He just kept smiling. He was very humble. And I really felt sorry for him. They all did. But I really sat and cried. I said, God, how many are sitting in prison cells today that should not be there? Some have turned bitter. But some have been just like this young man. And he learned how to worship. And now he's trying to start a singing career. And I do hope he makes it. God is calling us to be immovable from the hope of the gospel because, number one, God is immovable. Two, the gospel is immovable. The Lord is unmovable. The kingdom is unmovable. Five, the souls of men depend upon us being unmovable. You are not going to be able to bring in the harvest if you're movable. You're not. You're going to have to become unmovable. Steadfast. When everything is against you, that's when you hold on to God's word. Hear that? Everything around you can move, can give way. It doesn't matter. Hold on to God and be immovable. If I was asked to get a show of hands, everybody in this room would raise their hands and say you've been at that place at one time or other in your life where things have come down. And you really just wanted to give up, but you stayed steady and you stayed strong. And you stayed motionless. When God gave me that word, I thought, now God, how am I going to get a sermon out of that? Amen. But God's good, isn't he? All right, Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit beyond the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will join the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high heels to the chief musician with my stringed instruments. Now, can you say that? Can you say that with all honesty? I really want you to go and read that again. Because if you can't say this, then you're in trouble. Introbable. Now that wasn't even a word. So you're in trouble if you can't say that. You have to be immovable. Job 13:15 says, though he slay me, yet why trust him? Even so, I will defend my own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation, for a hypocrite could not come before him. You know, Job's saying, you're just an ordinary man can't come before God and it can't become immovable. You have to be a special kind of person, one who has submitted your entire life to the Father. One who has determined in your heart of hearts, I'm not going to be moved off the rock. I'm not going to walk away from Jesus. And everybody in the body of Christ in the last, I'll say, 5 years has had the opportunity to walk away. Things have gotten bad in your lives. And you've just said, you know, God, it might be better if I just go sit in the corner. But you have that immovable instinct inside of you that said, no, I'm not going to retreat, devil. I'm going to stand my ground and beat you up. And I'm going to use the power and authority that's in me to destroy your foundations. We must look up to the hills from whence cometh our help. And you'll find it in Psalms 121:1. We must never again slide backwards down the slippery slope of defeat. Now, I'm the one that said this. We must become unmovable in the midst of every storm life throws our way. Read that again, because it's what you're going to have to do. We must look up to the hills from whence cometh our help. Psalm 121:1. We must never again slide backwards down the slippery slope of defeat. We must become unmovable in the midst of every storm life throws our way. How many of you that you know that you know that you know that right now God is really growing you up in this? That he's causing you to be a strong tower. And he's causing you to quit looking at the circumstances but to look up and trust him in every area of your life. All right, what did Jesus tell the disciples when they feared the storm? In verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him, you know, Peter, and said to Peter, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And that's what God is saying to you this morning. O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why couldn't you believe my word and continue on? So let's read that in Matthew 14:26. And when the disciples saw Jesus walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for what? Fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be what? Afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So Jesus said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was what? Afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught Peter and said to Peter, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, Jesus invited Peter to join him and walk on the water. He invites you to participate in the supernatural life also. But what barriers in your head or heart prevent you from leaving the boat? Let's read that again. Jesus invited Peter to join him and walk on the water. He invites you to participate in the supernatural life also. But what barriers in your head or heart prevent you from leaving the boat? Examining Peter walking on the water in response to Jesus' walking on water, we learn 8 things. Number 1, look for Jesus and keep looking to Jesus. Although a storm surrounded him, Peter looked to Jesus. The only problem was that he stopped looking at Jesus. The principle is clear, especially when life is a tumultuous storm. Look for Jesus and keep looking to Jesus. What does looking to Jesus look like for you? You know, what is in your life? And are you trusting Jesus or are you taking your eyes off of Jesus and placing it on the circumstance? Number two, when Jesus commands you, obey him. Jesus told Peter to come to him on the water. Even though it made no sense, Peter did what Jesus said. This is what obedience looks like, doing what Jesus says. Is there any area in your life that you are not obeying the Lord? Point three, faith is simply taking the next step. Peter took one step to get out of the boat and onto the water. Peter was doing just fine when he was focused on the next step and got into trouble when he lost sight of his next step. All right? So, asking you, what next step has Jesus asked you to take? Point four, faith unleashes the supernatural. Peter did not experience a supernatural power of God that allowed him to walk on water until he trusted as evidenced by his actions. Is there anything you need to be doing differently in your faith walk? Point five, fear will sink you. When Peter had faith, he walked on water. When he had fear, he sank in the water. The same is true for you. Fear will sink you. Is there any fear that is gripping and controlling your decision making? There is. Get rid of it. Six, Jesus saved you from many things. Jesus not only saved Peter from hell, but on this occasion, Jesus saved Peter from drowning. What things has Jesus saved you from? Point seven, a little faith is better than no faith. A little faith is better than no faith. Remember when I believed everything the word said, but I could not walk on water. I was sitting there saying, can I really do this? See, I didn't have any faith. So I never walked on water. Did everything else the word told me I could do, but never walked on water. And I said, God, I will walk on water. Amen. When my faith gets up there. All right, point seven. A little faith is better than no faith. The Lord Jesus spoke of Peter's little faith. This means that he was capable of even greater sustained faith. But the guys in the boat apparently had no faith. Point eight. Oh, I didn't ask you a question. Well, I'm going to ask a question. Where is your faith? Do you have little faith or no faith? All right. Point eight, you can choose to worry or worship. This is what that young man testified to last night. He said, other people around me were getting hard and they were really becoming very bad. But I decided I was not going to let being in prison, I was not going to let my mind be in prison. He said, so I just started worshiping. And that's how I came through 37 years of being in a prison of hell that I never did anything for. See, I thought that was neat. He would not let his mind get into prison, even though his body was there. Now, how many of us allow our mind to get into prison? We have to think about that. All right, point eight, you can choose to worry or worship. In an instant, the men went from worrying about their circumstances to worshiping their Christ. Question, how is your worship of the Lord going? This day, our Father is asking us to become motionless/immovable, to become more than conquerors. Remember in the beginning, he said we need to become conquerors and we wouldn't walk in fear. To have our eyes fixed on the rock, which is Jesus, to bring in the harvest of lost souls. The enemy does not want you to be motionless. Because if you're one that just being tossed and to and fro with the wind, then you will never bring in the harvest of lost souls. And remember what Jesus said. He said that Satan was trying to abort the harvest. Now, you know, I thought about how the abortion clinics are being worked. He's really working overtime in abortion clinics, destroying God's children. Now, are we going to get fixed on the rock so that we can bring in the harvest? Or are we going to allow Satan to abort this end time harvest? See, we have some very important decisions to make right now in our lives. And the decision you make is either going to break you or make you. If you make the wrong decisions in life, then God's not going to be able to use you, and he's going to cast you to the wayside. But if you make the right decision, and that is to stay on the rock Jesus, no matter what the storm's like, stay on the rock Jesus, and submit yourself totally and completely to God, and become that immovable object that God wants us to become, so we can bring in this end time harvest of lost souls. You need to quit thinking this is all about you, and we need to put our eyes on Christ and know that it's all about souls. You know, somebody died for you. Somebody prayed for you all their life, and they died for you. Now, why don't we get out of our flesh, and why don't we start praying for the lost souls, and why don't we become immovable so God can send us forth into the harvest field? I'm hearing God say he can thrust you into that harvest field at any given second. He can place you in a place where the lost souls are, and all the souls will be saved. If you determine in your heart that you will be that immovable vessel that the storms of life cannot blow apart. And God's telling me right now that it's restoration time. Some of you have allowed the storms of life to blow you off the rock. And God wants to restore you back onto the rock this morning. He wants to bring you to that place of perfect peace and perfect rest where the enemy will have no place in you. Now, if you want to be one of those, then God wants to place a special anointing upon you that you will not, no matter what the enemy has done to you as up to this day, that he will never be able to cause you to get off the rock and do his bidding. The altar's open.